Hello, welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm one of your hosts, Dana Osband, here with my friend Chavruta and Gordon. Our daf today, Masechta Bava Metzia, daf nun bet, page 52. So I'm actually going to start with the Mishnah that is on was on yesterday's daf and talk about it a little bit. And one of the things they're talking about here is that coins, once they've been used for a long time, they tend to like erode, like their markings on them erase from all the handling. And that kind of coin doesn't have the same metal content as a new coin and therefore becomes less valuable. So using an eroded coin as if it were a new coin could constitute some type of fraud. So the Mishnah wants to discuss different levels of erosion of which a coin could constitute fraud. How much can a sella be missing? And there be no fraud in using it. Rabbi Meir says, Arba Isarot, four Isars per Sela, Isar Ladinar, which is an Isar per Dinar, which is like 1/24. So you kind of have to know some of the things that like a Sela is 2 shekels, a shekel is 2 dinars, a dinar is 6 ma'ot, a ma'ah is 2 punjons, and a punjon is 2 Isars. Okay, so it's essentially...
This is not the metric system.
Yeah, we're dealing with like their currency, and I'm not going to claim to understand it, okay? You know, this is the kind of thing you have to write it out or look at a note. For Rabbi Yehuda Omer, arba pundionot, 4 pundionot per sella, pundion ledinar, which is a pundion per dinar. So that's 1/12. So another, for Rabbi Meir, to use that coin, you need to have much less of the value. If only 1/24 of it is gone, you can't use it. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's double that, it's 1/12. For Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, shmona pundiot, 8 pundiot, Shnei pundiot ledinar, which is 2 pundiot per dinar, which is 1/6. So he's in double of that. Ad matai mutar lahachzir. Until when is it permitted for the defrauded party to return its effective coin and claim that it was eroded? How much time do you have to do that? Bakrachim akadei sheireh l'shulchani. In large cities, until enough time lapses that he could have shown it to a money changer. Bakfarim ad arve shabbatot. In the villages, where there are no money changers, you have until the following Erev Shabbat, because that's when people would do their business. Imaya makira, if the one who passed the defective coin recognizes it, afil la'achar shneimasar chodesh mekabel temenu, even after 12 months, he should take it back from him. Ve'en lo alav elata aromet, and he's nothing against him except a cause for a complaint, right? Like, in other words, he doesn't have legal recourse. He can just complain about it. And somebody can use it for deconcentrating Master Shani. And as Anne always says, Master Shani always comes back and not worry about it. Shano Ella Nefesh Ra'ah, right? Because it's only one of an ungenerous disposition who wouldn't take such a coin. In other words, if you take the money to Yerushalayim and a vendor in Yerushalayim says, oh, I'm not going to take it, that's somebody who's not generous. So it's a very interesting Mishnah. I actually found the Gemara piece on this is a little bit intense. Because I think it goes through like a lot of currency and money issues that are not things that we normally talk about. I'm just going to read a little part of the Gemara and then I'll go it on to you. But I actually find this is a pretty dense stuff. So first, it starts off by saying Uraminhu. Right, they want to contrast this Mishnah with the following brisa. At kamatehe hasela chasera, how much of the sela has to be missing? V'yeba una'a, and to consider it to be fraud. Right, so what this indicates, right, this is saying that coins that have eroded in these amounts are not valid for use. So in other words, what's the issue here, right? The Mishnah answers the question of how much a coin can be missing and still be considered valid, okay? The Brisa talks about how much of a coin has to be missing to be considered invalid. So what the Mishnah says is acceptable is considered by the Brisa to be unacceptable. So using Rabbi Meir's system, right, according to the Brisa, if a dinar is missing an Isar, which is 1/24, it's disqualified. According to the Mishnah, if a dinar is missing an Isar, it's still acceptable. So it's like one of those word problems where is it like, you know, greater than and equal or less than and equal? You know what I mean? Is it like just a less than or is it a less than and equal? And that's really what the machlokas between the Mishnah and the Braisa is. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Papa, lo kasha, it's not difficult. Tana didan, right? Our Mishnah's Tana, ka chashiv mimata lamala, right? He starts from coins that have a little erosion and is considering coins with increasing levels of erosion. Tana bara, the Tana of the Braisa, ka chashiv milamala lamata. He's starting from coins that are already eroded beyond what's allowed and is considering coins of decreasing levels of erosion. So in other words, they're teaching the same things. They're just coming at it from two different angles. So, from here, the Gemara wants to understand. It's interesting. They go back to the first Mishnah we had about the 1-6, that's considered to be fraud. And they want to understand why our Mishnah has a variety of different opinions and doesn't just do 1-6, right? So it says, Maishnab is sella de pluggy. What's the difference between a sella that they argue about, right? Umashna betalit de lo pluggy, as opposed to a cloak, which is the Mishnah on Memtet that they don't seem to argue about. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rava. Rava says, Man Tana talit. Who's the Tana of the Mishnah about the cloak? Rabbi Shimon. It's Rabbi Shimon. So he holds it's a 6 in our Mishnah, and he holds it's a 6 in the other Mishnah. So really, it's actually consistent. Abaye says, right, he's going to say there is a difference between a cloak and a coin. Talit ad shetut machil inish, right? When you purchase a cloak, a person is prepared to sort of forego up to a 6. They're allowed, they allow a little bit, you know, inflation's not, a little bit of excess in the price. De imri anchi, because people say, right, ashik likabech, overpay for your bag. The shavi lekarsich, but only pay what's worth for your stomach. In other words, when you're buying clothes, you need it to protect your body, so you pay a little bit more. You're willing to spend a little bit of money. Sella, but with a sella coin, kaven de lo sagile, since it doesn't circulate at face value when it's defective, lo machio. Somebody isn't going to forgo even less than a 6. So I think it's interesting that the Gemara starts off by pointing out two different sort of what seems to be machlokas with other texts. They solve both of them to say, no, the text seems to be consistent between our Mishnah and Abraisa, our Mishnah and the previous two Mishnahs ago. And then from here, the Gemara is going to go into a deep dive into the Braisa that it brings as a machlokas.
I actually want to pick up on that second part of the Mishnah, which is, I want to dive right into it, where I'm on now, on Amud Bet, in the Gemara, where it says, Ad matai mutar lachzir, right, talking about these coins that have been depreciated, right, bekarkrim ad shir eli shulchani, bekfarim ad arvei shabatot. So this is all the citation from the Mishnah that you literally just read, Yerdana, where the discussion then, right, is how, you know, quite literally, how do we handle these depreciated coins? Before we even delve in, I just want to say, like, nowadays, I don't think we relate to coins as depreciated in that way, right? Either what's been minted on the coin lasts for longer, or it's recognizable and that's sufficient. And we don't compare to say, oh, well, this is an older coin or this is a newer coin. And I don't know if that's just because of technology, like, is the minting stronger or something nowadays, or I don't have any good answer for that. But I've heard of money being taken out of circulation, but not that the money that remains in circulation is of a lesser value. Maishna b'selad de maflig, or maishna b'talit de lo maflig. So the Gemara dives right in and says, what's the difference between the sella, where the Tana can then distinguish, right, between what's on the sella, right, between the cities and the villages, and what's the difference between the garment, where he's not going to distinguish between the cities and the villages. Amar Abaye, kitanan nami matnin betalit bekrachin tanan. So Abaye says, well, we learned this halacha in the Mishnah. It was about the talit, right? It's about that garment as well. And it's going to be specifically about the krachin, about the cities. Rav Amar, talit kol inish kimle begava. So Rava says that when you're talking about selling of the garment to the village, you can always come back and deal with it at a later stage. But when you're talking about a coin as compared to the garment, right, then every person has to be certain of what the value is, because that's exactly the difference. When you're talking about a garment, I guess there's some points of negotiation, whatever, right? You can figure it out and rectify a mistake and everything like that. But when you're talking about the sela itself, then it has to be, everybody has to be sure of what the value is. Kevan de lav kol inish kim le begava el shulchani yelchas bakrachim de ika shulchani. So then you have to go, the point is that if you've got the coins and you don't have the precise value, well, then you can't, then handling it in the villages where maybe you don't have an expert is not going to work. But if you go to the cities where you're going to have a shulchani, a money changer, right, then that money changer is going to be able to assess or to swap you the coin. Ad shirei l'shulchani, you come to show it to the shulchani. B'kfarim daleke shulchani ad arvei shabbatot desalkin l'shuka. And so again, in the villages where you don't have a money changer, you can worry about this, you know, worry about swapping out the coin until Erev Shabbat, until Friday afternoon, I guess, Friday morning, maybe when people go to the market, you could then figure out how much of that sela actually worth, which is a different state. It's like an added step, because, but it's a recognition that you need somebody, specifically the Shulchani, to be able to assess and determine how much of the depreciation taken place. How much depreciation is taking place? What would happen if you then are dealing with this 12 months later? What happens when the coin has eroded enough that you're going to call it exploitation, right? Meaning, as opposed to it just being, oops, this is, you know, this has been devalued and I didn't even realize it. So the Gemara says specifically, so you want to say, he has to give it back. The first claim is he has to take it back after the 12 months that have passed, right? And that has nothing to do with any deterioration of the coin itself, right? That's just like, you know, there's going to be some, like, you come to your merchant and say, listen, I want to return this or whatever. That's, you know, you could claim a grievance, but it's not about the coins. The Gemara says, when do you have this coin issue? Well, in the cities, he only has the amount of time till he can actually show it to the money changer. And in the villages, he has until Erev Shabbat where he can show it to the money changer. Meaning, where's this 12 months coming in? It does not seem to, it seems a little bit from nowhere. Amar Rav Chista, midat chasidut shano kan. So Rav Chista says, no, we're talking about an element of piety, meaning that the merchant should be willing or able, or I guess forgiving enough to be able to accept it back after considerable, you know, like this amount of time, even the 12 months. And I'm reminded, like, I think even, you know, when you shop in stores, you can see that there are certain places that have a reputation of, you know, having very forgiving return policies, and other places that really do not. And some of that might be, you know, is it a village? Is it a small mom and pop type of shop? Sometimes it's a matter of caliber or expensiveness. That's not the right word, right? But when you end up with the store that's, you know, catering to the upper echelons of financial society, then they make it their point sometimes, right, to be able to provide that very excellent customer service that allows you midat chasidut, that allows you to be able to return sometime later. Ihachi emaseifa einli alav ela taromet. So the Gemara says, well, then let the latter part of the Mishnah, meaning when he's got a grievance against him, like, well, who are you talking about the grievance? If the seller is a pious person who accepted that the coins that have been depreciated could come back to him, so then what's the problem here, right? To say that he's got a grievance goes a little bit, it's a different approach to say that. Then you're gonna have a grievance against the person who is willing to accept your coin. Like, that doesn't quite work, unless you say, well, he has to not accept the coin, and then we have to say, well, let him not have a grievance. I mean, if you want to read the Midat Chasidut into the Mishnah, then you need to read it through both in the Reisha, both in the beginning part and also in the end part. Ila Chasid lo keblule keblule minay lo taromet tihavele, and then you won't have this taromet, you won't have this grievance against him. Ve'ela lahayach tekeble minay labata demakabla minay taromet tihavele. So then the Gemara says, well, maybe we're talking about the person who got the coin, from whom he got the coin, right? And so then he's taking the coin from him, again, this depreciated or you know, it's in the process of being depreciated, the coin. So now how can you say that if you've given up, you're giving back the coin, then you're accepting, if the coin is being accepted back, you know, as a testimony to his depreciation, then how can you say that he's going to have a grievance here? It's kind of going too far. It's too many complaints on the same issue. Hachika Amar, so the Gemara says, no, this is what the Tana is saying. Let's understand it differently. Ha acher, af al pi she'ein mekabla himenu, ein lo alav ela taromet. So the Gemara says that when you're talking about dealing with another person, you can't assume midat chasidut, right? You have to deal with, you have to assume that the person is not pious, is not going to accept the coin. And even if he does not accept the coin, after the time has passed, right, then what's he going to, and then the other guy comes to, I'm sorry, let me say this clearer, right? If he doesn't accept the coin back, right, after time has passed, so he's not employing midat chasidut, this generosity here, then the person who, you know, tried to bring it back to him to begin with, that's when he's going to have a grievance against him. Meaning you can't force the person from whom he got the coin to accept the return of it, right? There's no legal recourse. That's what midat chasidut means. He can be generous of spirit or not. But then also the position is that the coin itself is going to have some, you know, it's going to retain its value. And then what happens, like, how are you going to be able to uphold your business if people think that your coins, that the value of your coins is questionable? So all of this, you know, it's very much a matter of how do you do business? How does the merchant do business? And how do his customers treat his business? Do you come back with complaints? Do you come back? And then how are they received? Does the merchant say, ah, yeah, here, you know, out of the goodness of my heart and my interest in your ongoing business and my reputation out there in general, I will be happy to exchange, you know, your bad coin for a good coin, or not, right? And I think this is another one of those cases where the reality of it can be much more complicated than how it's presented on the page. And how it's presented on the page is not so simple either.
Right. Their Mishnahs, I think this set of Mishnahs are really sort of show us how the Mishnahs are a shorthand, right? You cannot and then say, I understand halakha. I mean, I think learning Mishnah is very important and often overlooked. But when you see what the Gemara does with these Mishnayos, it's so detailed and the variety of cases and the different stipulations and why they work this way. I mean, it's very clear that the Mishnah is really just a starting point for the learning and for the understanding of what the law actually is.
Right. When they talk about Mishnahs being, you know, the Rashi Prakim, like the beginnings of the outline, and then all of the halacha, and it's not even halacha the way we practice halacha today, but the Gemara's development of the halachic topics, there's just so much more going on in the Gemara here than in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah clearly knows what it's talking about, but we do not without the Gemara.
That's our DAF discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this DAF on our Talking Talmud Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.